Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. We're drawing close to the beginning of Lent, and the Church offers us a number of readings from the book of Genesis. We want to go back to the beginning, what God created, why God created, what He asked of His creation, what He promised His creation. That's what we find when we read the book of Genesis. And that should help us as we listen to these readings. Go back and read it all from the beginning of last week. Read the readings. We began with the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 to 19. And we've spoken about chapters 1 and 2 during this week. And now we're going to move to Genesis, chapter 4, verses 1 to 15, and then verse 25. And the reason that it's here, so often people say, well, I know this. No, you don't. No, you don't, in the sense that what did God tell His people as He created one plant, one animal, one person? He said things to us that indicate why we were created and what we were created for. So pay attention. This is from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 15, and then verse 25. The man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next, she bore his brother Abel. Abel became a keeper of flocks, and Cain a tiller of the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the soil, while Abel, for his part, brought one of the best firstlings of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not. Cain greatly resented this and was crestfallen. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you so resentful and crestfallen? If you do well, you can hold up your head, but if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master. In other words, you're competing with your brother. You came with a spirit of jealousy. You're not giving me a pure offering. You're trying to do better than your brother. See, one of the fruits of original sin, it's already there in their children. And he looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not. Cain greatly resented this and was crestfallen. What happens when you become resentful? Anger, bitterness, all that kind of hatred begins to rise in your heart. So the Lord said, if you do well, you can hold up your head. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. And it's lurking at Cain's door right now. Jealousy. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master. You can conquer this by the grace I will give you. But Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out in the field. So when they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Jealousy. And then the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he answered, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at that attitude. You see how quickly sin leads us down the path. And the Lord then said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the soil. Therefore, you shall be banned from the soil that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. If you till the soil, it shall no longer give you its produce. You shall become a restless wanderer on the earth. Not only did he give in to jealousy, but he carried it out by killing his brother and then lying to God. It just compounds it one after another. We see it, don't we? If you till the soil, it shall no longer give you its produce. You shall become a restless wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear, since you have now banished me from the soil, and I must avoid your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth. Anyone may kill me at sight. Not so. The Lord said to him, if anyone kills Cain, Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. So the Lord put a mark on Cain lest anyone should kill him at sight. Adam again had relations with his wife, and she gave birth to a son whom she called Seth. God has granted me more offspring in place of Abel, she said, because Cain slew him. So even in our first parents, even there, we're seeing almost immediately the fruit of sin. And it leads, it can start out as something small and lead to murder, can lead to a rejection of God, can kill us. Psalm 50 tells us, offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Let the words be on your lips that are in your heart, words of thanksgiving. Yes, words of petition, but also words of praise and of thanksgiving. I'm trying right now to grow in a spirit of gratitude, and I'm taking time just as I'm walking the hall, as I'm going from one job to another, I'm just thanking the Lord for something that he has done for me. Encourage that in you. Encourage that in yourself, a spirit of gratitude, because it puts all the other negative things far away. Focus on gratitude, and the more you realize how much you have to be grateful for, the less you give in to the temptations that lead you away. God the Lord has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, for your burnt offerings are before me always. But why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? You say you're a follower of me, but you cast my words behind you and you hate the discipline I ask you to undergo. You sit speaking against your brother, against your mother's son, you spread rumors. When you do these things, shall I be deaf to it? Or do you think that I'm like yourself? I will correct you. I'll draw them up before your eyes so you see. Brothers and sisters, take this seriously. Look at those things that impede your relationship with others and most of all your relationship with God. And if your relationship with God is in any way broken or diminished, you're not going to have the wisdom and the insight, the courage, whatever you need to love your brothers and sisters or even to love yourself. You end up hating yourself. That's the work of the enemy, and it progresses that way unless you stop it. In the Gospel of Mark, today, chapter 8, verses 11 to 13, the Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Why does this generation seek a sign? Why do you constantly have to have proof? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Why? Because he was there. They didn't need a sign. He was present, and they rejected the sign. They rejected him. Brothers and sisters, that's what can happen to us. Commentary on the Gospel of Mark says this, Jesus sighs from the depth of his spirit, expressing his distress at their hardness of heart. This generation again recalls the evil generation of Israelites who refused to trust God even after witnessing all that he had done in Egypt and who were therefore denied entrance to the promised land. Like them, Jesus' opponents are motivated not by a sincere desire for truth, but by a refusal to relate to God on his terms. We want to set the terms. And part of our role as creature is to accept the terms of God, and we can do it in trust and joy because he always wants our good, unless we totally reject and refuse. To insist on irrefutable evidence is really a demand for control, as if to say, force us to believe so that we will not have to trust you or change our hearts. But faith that is compelled is not faith at all. Jesus' emphatic preface, Amen, I say to you, gives a special weight to what he is about to say. no sign will be given to this generation. That is, no sign that will satisfy their criteria for proof. His miracles and deeds of mercy will invite faith but not coerce it. For those who reject his offer, who choose to be those outside, he can only walk away. It's also interesting to note this painful exchange marks the end of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. From now on, his focus will be on training his disciples in preparation for the culminating events of his life, and he will return to Galilee only once more in secret. Take a look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 30. Jesus has given them everything that he could give them, and yet the Pharisees keep arguing with him, and they keep asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus isn't going to give it to them because it's not going to change anything. If they got that sign, then they'd say, well, then give us this sign and give us this sign. Their faith would be in the signs, not in the person. Jesus gave certain signs, but then he said, now you've got to decide. Are you going to trust me and follow me? Are you going to choose me or not? Jesus himself is the, capital T-H-E, the sign. But so often, just like the Pharisees here, we can't see beyond our own nose. He's right here. He's right here, right now in your life, right wherever you're listening to this program. God is right beside you. And he's asking you, will you trust me? Will you follow me? No matter what seems to happen around you, will you trust me? Put all your trust in him. He is the one person who will never disappoint you. What may disappoint you are your own hopes and your own dreams. But God will never disappoint you if you follow him. He will lead you safely home to eternal life with him. And frankly, brothers and sisters, I'd rather put my weight on his promises than on my own wishful thinking. Just think of the things that inhibit, that impede your faith in God. Well, God did this, or God didn't do this, and therefore I don't believe him. Or this happened, and how could there be a God if this happened, and therefore I don't believe him. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm troubled. Lord, there are a lot of temptations against faith. Help me. Show me that I may with confidence put my trust in you. Help me. And God will help. I promise you, God will help. But he always, as I've said so often, he will never violate our free will. So the question is whether we are humble enough to bow down and say, I can't change this situation and I can't make myself happy. And I can't make this work. You, Lord, are the source of all that is good and true and beautiful. And I put my life at your feet. And I say, lead me and teach me. Give me the grace to obey your word. Make sure you're reading the scriptures every day. And I urge you, because of our busyness, read the words, read them out loud if you can, that the Word of God may have a greater chance to take root in your heart. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.